Matthew chapter 2, and we are going to keep it brief tonight. But I want to start by reading this portion of Scripture dealing with the wise men who came from the east. So follow along as I read Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, so it is written by the prophets. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them the time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. So this time of year, obviously, for good reason, people are called to remember or to at least acknowledge the truth of the incarnation, that God sent his son. Maybe they don't believe it, but at least they acknowledge that this is what the mass of people celebrate on Christmas. And that is worthy to be remembered and celebrated. For we're told, even in the scriptures, in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, that Jesus Christ is the very grace of God. And Paul doesn't even use his name. He simply says, "The grace of God came, bringing salvation for all people." Jesus Christ is the grace of God. The grace of God is not found outside of Christ. And this is good for us to remember. Tonight, I want to focus not only on the grace of God and the incarnation, but also to focus on the grace and mercy of God in the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, God revealing Christ to sinners is also a key piece of God's grace and mercy. And this evening, I want to focus on three very simple points that I'm going to give you. And again, we're going to keep this very short, but there are three simple points that I want to bring to our minds and have us to meditate on this evening. The first thing that we see, and as we compare this passage and the passage that Andrew read earlier from the Gospel of Luke, the two Gospels that record the birth of Christ narrative, what we find is this. The first point I want to draw our attention to is this. It is God who drew worshipers to Christ. Why did the shepherds come? Did they think it was a good idea? Hey, you know, nothing really happening tonight. Let's head to Bethlehem and see what's up. No, God broke into their lives miraculously and summoned them to Christ. God broke into the darkness of their lives and said, "Go to Christ tonight." Well, let's look at the wise men, the other people we find worshiping Christ on that birth, in that birth narrative. How did the wise men come to Bethlehem? Because they thought it was a good idea? No, there was a divine revelation given to them that this star is the star leading us to the King of Israel. And so God not only draws the shepherds to Christ, but he also draws the wise men to Christ. It was God who drew worshipers to his son. That's why even in his commentary, Calvin said this: "It is God who brought the Magi from Chaldea, Babylon, to come to the land of Judah for the purpose of adoring and worshiping Christ." God brought Gentiles to worship Christ. God brought Jewish shepherds to worship Christ. The only worshipers that we're told about in sacred scripture, the only worshipers that we find worshiping the baby Christ are those that God himself miraculously brought to his son. This is amazing. This is a key truth. Think about this. If God did not bring worshipers to Christ, we would read of the birth narrative of Jesus Christ and see no one worshiping. No one just came up or conjured in their own idea, I'm going to go worship this baby that was born in a manger tonight. God breaks into the darkness of these people's lives and summons them, calls them, drags them, if you will, to his son to worship and adore him. The Son of God had come. The long-awaited Messiah had been born. The promise given to Adam and Eve all the way back in Genesis 3:15 in the garden was being fulfilled in time, in history. The apex of redemptive history was upon humankind, and we find nobody worshiping there except those God himself drew to Christ. God desires his son to be worshiped. God desires, the Father desires that Christ Jesus would be adored and worshiped. The Spirit desires Christ to be praised and exalted. So when we read these birth narratives in Matthew and Luke, one of the things that should strike us is the fact that nobody came to worship Christ of their own free choice. They were summoned there by God for the purpose of worshiping his son. God wants his son to be worshiped, and he draws people to Christ for that purpose. We see this same thing happening a few days later when Jesus is 8 days old, going to the temple with Anna and Simeon. The scriptures tell us that the Holy Spirit revealed to them that this was the Christ. God wants Christ to be exalted, and he brings to Christ worshipers. And this is why when we think about this beautiful time of Christmas to remember the incarnation, while it is good to focus on the babe lying in the manger, may we remember the whole Trinity at Christmas. That it was the Father who sent his Son, and it is the Spirit who draws worshipers to Christ. It is God. The gospel is God's gospel. The Father sent the Son. The Spirit draws worshipers to the Son so that he might be praised and adored. So the first thing as we think about this birth narrative that is important for us to remember is that it is God who drew worshipers to his Son. God drew the shepherds. God drew the wise men to Christ. And then coming off of that point, flowing from that point, we must acknowledge and remember this. So too, just like 2,000 years ago, men today do not naturally seek after Christ, but God, because he desires his son to be worshipped, brings worshipers to Christ. See, humans, the scriptures teach us, are dead in sins and trespasses. Humans do not naturally go seeking out after God. We do not naturally seek after Christ, just like what happened 2,000 years ago. People weren't naturally seeking after Christ. Those who come to Christ because God has impressed the truth of the gospel on their hearts, and he has drawn them to himself, drawn them to Jesus Christ to be worshipers. Those that find themselves drawn to Christ, even still today, are those that God himself has summoned for that purpose of worshiping and praising Jesus. This is what the scriptures clearly declare, that there is no one who naturally seeks after God, is what Paul says in Romans chapter 3. And even think of the picture of the nativity scene, how it's at night when these worshipers come. Even that is such a beautiful picture of the gospel that John tells us about in the beginning of his gospel. The light came into the world, to the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. No, everybody is left in darkness. It is those that God draws by his grace out of the darkness into the light of his Son that are the worshipers of Christ. You see, God would not have his Son to be without worshipers 2,000 years ago. This is what God wants. The Father wants his Son to be worshipped. The Father wants his Son to be praised. The Spirit wants Christ to be exalted. This is the reason why there were worshipers worshiping the baby 2,000 years ago. And this is why there are still worshipers gathered in the name of Christ worshiping him today. Because God desires his son to be worshiped and he draws worshipers to Christ. The sending of the son was the work and gift of God. The revealing of the son to sinners is also the work and gift of God. See, the birth of Christ shows us God's grace in sending Christ, but it also shows us God's grace in drawing people to Christ. You see, if Christ just came, but God didn't draw anybody to Christ, it wouldn't have been enough. We all stood would perish in our sins. But God not only sent his dearly beloved son, but he draws people to his son so that they might know forgiveness of sins, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Let's remember that as well. It's not this worldwide humanitarian peace that the angels are proclaiming. Jesus refutes this himself with his teaching. I didn't come to bring peace with the sword. The peace that the angels proclaim is a peace we have with God through having our sins forgiven. That's the peace. Jesus Christ is the peace of God. That's the peace that the angels were proclaiming. The goodwill toward men is that through this Messiah, through this Christ, we who were once far off can be brought near to God. So, two things for us to remember. It is God who drew worshipers to Christ on that night. It is still God who draws worshipers to Christ to this day. Without the work, the drawing of God, there would be no worshipers of Christ. And the third thing I want us to quickly acknowledge and be reminded of before we dismiss this evening is this, that there is a difference. There is a difference between having Christ revealed to your soul by God, being drawn to Christ by God. There's a difference between that and simply hearing of Christ with your ears. And we also see this in the birth narratives. There is a difference between being drawn to Christ by God and simply being someone who's heard the gospel. And we see this in that account that I just read in Matthew chapter 2. Lots of people heard the good news of Christ on that evening. The wise men are not keeping it a secret. They clearly proclaimed to Herod, he's born. Where is he? We want to go worship him. Herod hears the gospel. And then Herod calls his scribes. They hear the gospel. He has been born, the long-awaited Messiah. And they even provide Herod with some knowledge. Well, it's going to be in Bethlehem. Lots of people heard the message of Christ. But we are not told that any of them follow the wise men to go worship Christ. Isn't that amazing? The wise men are drawn to Christ for worship. Herod and his scribes hear of the gospel, but stay in the darkness of night. See, Herod and the others had the good news of Christ preached to them, but they do not accompany the wise men to worship Christ. You see, let us remember this. And again, it's good to be reminded of this time of year, because we'll hear of the good news of Christ bunches of times in the next 24 hours, even maybe as our families read it to their children before you know, opening presents or whatever. You'll hear the good news of Christ lots of times. But simply hearing the good news is not enough. The Spirit of God must take that good news and impress it upon your heart and draw you to Christ Jesus. And you may ask, well, how do I know if that's happened to me? How do I know if I'm just a hearer of the gospel like Herod, who died in his sins and obviously perished outside of Christ? How do I know if I'm that in that camp or someone who's truly been drawn to Christ like the wise men were? And the answer is very simple. Look at the actions of these two groups of people in Matthew 2. The wise men were worshipers of Christ. That's the evidence. Are you a worshiper of Christ? Do you adore Christ in your heart? Do you praise the Father for his gift of Christ? Is it your goal and your desire to know Christ more? Are you a worshiper of Christ? That is the evidence that the Spirit of God has truly consumed you and drawn you to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a difference between simply hearing the gospel and being a worshiper of Jesus Christ. And very quickly, I want to remind us of one thing too. When I say being a worshiper of Christ, I'm talking about being a worshiper of Jesus Christ of the Bible, not a Jesus Christ, a therapeutic Christ, or a deistic idea of Christ. But has God drawn you to the Jesus Christ that's revealed in sacred scripture? The Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the only mediator between God and man, the Lord Christ Jesus, full of grace and truth. Has God brought you to this Christ? Then if so, rejoice, for you too have been called out of the darkness of night into the presence of his marvelous light. So as we think about these simple points this evening and get ready to go and spend time with our families and doing these fun things that surround Christmas, let's remember and think about these two things and maybe even ponder these two questions before I dismiss this in a word of prayer. Are you a worshiper of Christ? Or are you someone who's simply heard of Christ? Does the love of Christ compel you? Is it your desire to know him more? This is what it means to be a worshiper of Christ. Or have you simply heard the good news and it's only gone to the ear? It's never impacted the heart. And the second thing I want you to think about as we go from this place is this. At this time of year, are you grateful not only for the fact that God sent his Son upon the earth? Praise God for that. But we should be equally grateful that God, by his mercy and grace, has revealed this glorious gospel to us and by the work of his Spirit drawn us to Christ to be worshipers. The incarnation is a glorious truth. The revelation of Christ to sinful men is a glorious truth. And this, even 2,000 years ago, is a wonderful picture of the gospel that God draws sinners out of the darkness of night to his Son for the purpose of worshiping and adoring him. Stand with me as I close this in prayer this evening. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth that you declare in your word that it is you who have provided salvation. We did not conjure up this good news of Christ. Men did not invent this. It is too glorious. It is too far above us. What man could invent such a glorious truth? But we rejoice not only that you sent your Son, but we rejoice that you have drawn us to your Son. For we confess, Lord, that left to ourselves, we would all naturally despise the gospel of your Son. We would continue to love our sins more than Christ. We would continue, by our own choice, to stay in the darkness of sin, death, and destruction. But because you desire your Son to be worshipped, because you desire your name to be glorified amongst the nations, you have seen fit to draw a remnant out of the darkness into the marvelous light of a revelation and knowledge of Christ. And for this, Lord, we rejoice. And this is what we long for and hope for. This is, we're reminded even that this is why heaven is called the world of light, because we will forevermore be in the presence of Christ, shining like the radiance of the sun, no more with fears and sorrows to dwell, but living forever in the glory of a true and unhindered knowledge of Christ. So we thank you for this glorious gospel that you have revealed to your people. May we be thankful and grateful tonight and tomorrow for what you've done for us in and through Christ. In his name I pray. Amen.